Mites and Mites podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy Mike Eagle is there as well. Tights and Mites podcast. Tights and
G-H-T-S and Fights. Wrestling podcast. We are here to talk about wrestling with each other. And you're probably talking to us, but we can't hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity it deserves.
Still moonwalking.
That's right. I'm the man they call Greenberg. Also known as Hal Loveland.
Oh, God.
I'm joined in the booth by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Sister of Destruction, Danielle Radford.
Hi.
And the Legend Thriller, Mike Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up on this week's show, Hell's 11th Circle, Smack Talking on Raw, Ringing the Ring Bella, and a lot more. But first, let's take a look at Monday Night Raw and SmackDown. We're going to get into the best talking points in a minute. We're going to talk about stuff that caught our eye. Now, before we started recording, and let's get into it right now, I asserted that this week Raw was as good as SmackDown, but I will say I was taking the cruiserweights entirely out of it.
That just makes my head hurt.
Brian Kendrick fake crying in the locker room was not good.
You guys, you can't.
It was not good.
Mike looks so betrayed.
No, it's not betrayal. I honestly come into it feeling a very visceral pain from Raw.
I just thought
this week's show was just the worst.
You didn't like the list of Jericho?
No. No.
Really?
No.
Did they ruin it for you?
You know why?
Why?
Because the list of Jericho was more important than a goddamn championship belt. And I don't like it. I don't like it. It's why Raw is weird and bad. Because Jericho gets the list over, so suddenly the whole show is about the list. And everybody forgets that they have a universal champion who's having a match for the belt this weekend. Nobody cares.
You sound like Curtis Axel.
Oh.
Roots.
Sorry, that was a good promo.
That was a great
promo.
That was the best work he's done
since Axel Mania.
And I would appreciate it if it was for a purpose other than them to make the crowd happy for him to be beaten handily immediately after.
There was some story, I think it was after Raw aired, that they've started confiscating Axel signs.
They did.
Ooh,
was it at Monday Night Raw?
It was at Monday Night Raw.
I mean, come on. I don't like to say the system is rigged.
How? Danielle,
Yo,
Danielle.
We gotta grab our muskets, I guess.
Oh.
We gotta grab our wrestling muskets.
Honestly, it is time for a Raw coup because these people who do creative for Monday Night Raw do not like us. They don't. They do things to make us angry, I swear. I don't get the logic behind most of what they do at this point. Most of it.
Okay, Cesaro, Sheamus versus The New Day.
I don't care.
It's such a good storyline between those guys. Although I've forgotten that they wrestled a Best of Seven series, which is bad for Raw as a brand. However,
now see, you forgot it. I never cared.
See?
And
we're starting from that point. We're starting from...
I like those guys. I like their characters are developing more with them as a team. It's giving them more identity, so when they break apart... Although I will say, when they were talking in the locker room, and they was like, I just want someone who is a strong European guy. Well, I want someone who wants to win a championship. And then, like, they walk away. Who thought they were going to kiss? Raise a hand. I thought they were going to kiss. It's just me.
I will
say,
there is nothing I love more than when they take two wrestlers that don't like each other and then they become best friends. There is almost like that's the part of it that actually makes me interested because it is. I'm like, they're gonna be best friends and it's gonna be unshakable and unbreakable until one of them looks like they're getting a solo push.
Are they gonna be faces though? Are they gonna be heels? What's gonna happen? Like,
Sheamus is going to be the reluctant face.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going.
Them doing their version of the Unicorn Stampede where they kept tagging the other person out to deliver a European uppercut was a great spot. Like, that's a good team-up
spot.
Right,
but you know what's going to happen? They're going to do it every match for the rest of the year.
And then they're going to go to therapy.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And they're going to eat SpaghettiOs.
Can they get the same therapist that worked with Daniel Bryan and Kane?
that's both.
Give them a bunch of stuff to work on.
I tell you, this week, though, this is when I finally saw it. Remember that quote, SmackDown is a wrestling show?
Yes.
And Raw is a show about a wrestling show. This week, Raw was a show about a wrestling show about a list.
Studio 60 from Connecticut.
Yes.
Yeah. from the stolen list. I will say, I watched both shows today. I mainlined them. And SmackDown does much more with 2 hours than Raw does. Like, they managed to do everything Raw did. They did it a little bit better. And they did it in under 2 hours, in 90 minutes, basically.
You guys, you're going to hurt Raw's feelings.
Okay.
Raw hurts my feelings unabashedly, unapologetically, every Monday for 3 hours. They don't care about me. They don't care.
That's fair. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get in. I'm going to let you vent. We're going to get into some of the specifics from Raw, SmackDown, and the world of wrestling that caught our attention.
I'm just going to be over here crying silently. Y'all can talk about Raw.
I want you to cry on the outside, because this is a podcast. We have to hear the sobs.
Okay.
Okay, good. Both of the main WWE shows are in the middle of developing angles for their respective women's titles. Raw had a contract signing between Sasha and Charlotte in their upcoming match, where Uncle Mick came out to give what feels like an annual speech about how dangerous Hell in the Cell is. Let's hear it.
So before I make you sign this, you sign away the better part of your life, I need you both to look me in the eye.
Look at me walk.
Look me in the eye and let me know that you know the risks that go hand in hand with making history this Sunday night at Hell in a Cell.
And blowing up from yelling.
Yeah. CM Boston. Thank you.
Oh, I love the crowd lately.
And I'll see you in hell.
Okay.
guess which man whose initials are VKM wrote that line? No, say it like this. Hell.
No.
Hell. No.
Hell.
From the diaphragm.
Hell.
Tell somebody they're fired. Try it.
You're fired.
Oh, we need to work on this. We definitely need to work on this. All right, before we dig into that, we're going to go back to SmackDown, where they had more of a standard heel face promo between Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss to hype up their match in November. Let's hear that.
Our match was postponed because I was rushed to the emergency room and the doctors wouldn't let me leave the hospital, let alone clear me to compete. I'm sorry I couldn't compete.
Okay, yeah. I get it. You may be a world champion, Becky, but you're also a world-class con artist.
Oh! You just got swerved.
Wow. Now, Danielle...
Yes,
We're going to get to you, Mike. I know.
Oh, no. All right. Don't rush.
Okay. Danielle, I know you're partial to Sasha and her reign as champ. So having her and Charlotte in the first Hell in the Cell match is interesting both from a story and a pure match perspective. However, some say that continually pushing this as another history-making step in the women's revolution is getting exhausting. What do you think?
You know, it's only getting exhausting because they keep doing dope shit. Like, that's the only reason why it's exhausting because they keep doing awesome stuff. Like, what are you supposed to do? It is the first. And you know, there's nothing WWE loves more than firsts and anniversaries. And like, there's nothing they love more than nothing WWE celebrates more than the made-up history of WWE. So, like, of course they're going to nut out for when they give, like, all these opportunities to ladies.
WWE is the person you're dating that calls you and says, "We've been dating for 6 weeks. Did you get me a present? I got you. I planned a surprise. There's a map hidden under your pillow. It's a treasure hunt across the city.
You have to go to everywhere we went for all of our dates.
All five of our dates.
Every date that we've been on. And there's the clue that will lead you to the next date that we've been on.
Oh, Jesus.
That's what so like they've got the benefit of having been doing this story for years. So it's fine. They've been doing it forever. It would be different if they just like threw two women up there and was like, "Oh, we doing some historic shit." And like but this has a backbone. Granted, I'm going to need it to be about the title soon. But they'll get there on, you know, let them have their victory lap. Like, yay, we're no longer dicks. We're not dicks. We're not dicks. We're not dicks. They are very proud of themselves. I love how they celebrate, like, oh, remember how it used to be? But now it's better. Motherfucker, it's the same people. It's the same fucking people. Y'all was in charge then and y'all in charge now. Y'all don't get to be like, remember how terrible it was? Yes, nigga, you signed the contract. You did everything. You have the pencil.
Oh, this room's on fire right now.
So yeah, I'ma let them bask in there. It's like, you know that dude who just discovers that men and women are people? Like, WWE did that this year where they're like, women are people. Why are we paying them less? That's what WWE did this year. And so now they're your friend who's like, well, you can't say that. You're sexist. It's like, I remember you a year ago. That's where WWE is. So let's just let our friend have their thing until they burn themselves out and it'll be fine.
Oh my God.
I will say I can't follow that.
No. I'm sorry I dropped the N-word on the spot.
No, I'm not sorry you did.
It's
at
fine.
All.
Don't worry. Look.
That there's a reason that word exists where it exists in our lexicon, and it is for moments like that. Okay?
A moment like that. Sometimes you say the N-word. Not you, just me, not y'all.
Yeah, not most of y'all.
Not y'all.
I imagine.
Just me.
I want to track it back for just a second to the white guy Mick Foley and say that promo. I love that he comes out and says, you know, you don't know how dangerous Hell in a Cell is, and I lost my ear and I had a tooth go through my mouth. Like, I get it that it's dangerous, but he didn't. In the promo, he's like, before I make you sign this. Why is he warning them? Instead of saying, listen, I'm putting you in this cell because it's punishing and because this needs to end. And when this is done, one of you will walk out and one of you won't. But you'll both be changed forever. That's the promo that he needed to give. Like, we get it's dangerous. Why are you putting six people in this fucking steel cage if you're concerned? You're the general manager.
Also, right. Yeah, P.S., how come nobody else is getting that speech?
Right.
Yeah.
That's a very good question.
How come nobody else is... Look, I know that Sasha weighs a buck 05, but, like, how come no one else is getting that? You guys, this is really dangerous. I ain't got no face now.
Mike, what do you think?
What?
Real quick.
About what?
All right, do you want me to move on? I will move on.
I don't know. Did you have something specific you were asking? Because I'm just angry and hot. I'm sorry.
I have us going to SmackDown next. Okay. But if you have anything, do you want to talk SmackDown? Go to your happy place.
I don't have. Okay.
All right. Here we go.
I won't fight.
All right.
I won't fight it.
Let's let the SmackDown.
I'll let it wash over.
Here
me.
We go.
Okay. Oh God.
All right.
Usa.
Trump Becky Lynch has returned to the show.
Oh, Jesus.
For the first time since a recent hospitalization.
Mm-mm, that wasn't good either.
You didn't like her return at all?
Okay. I like Becky a lot.
Yes.
I don't like her when... I don't like the way she talks, I guess. I don't know. It feels like a horrible thing to say. But I do not like the style in which she cuts promos. Mm-hmm. It's a little too loose or something like that. Like,
feels flippant?
It feels like she gets excited and kind of loses it a little bit.
Okay.
And then it doesn't come off impactful. It comes off kind of chaotic in a way that doesn't get me amped for anything necessarily. I really like Alexa was great. Kind of heel, exact kind of focused promo. I want the belt. Give me the belt.
She definitely follows like that promo, like words. Words. Like, she definitely.
Is this Alexa Bliss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But everyone gets heat.
And she did Daniel did the neck thing too. Alexa's very good with the neck.
She does do the neck.
She does do the neck, and it's good.
Best facial expressions in the business right now.
You know, I'm thinking about it. Sasha is not in a very strong position on the mic as the babyface champion.
No.
And neither is Becky. I'm wondering, like, is that just a tough position to be in general as a babyface champion when somebody's cutting a promo against you? Like, is that a difficult? Because even the guys on Raw, like, I'm looking at Seth when he came down on Raw and he's like making wisecracks about the list. And I'm like, nobody wants that. You know what I mean? Like they make all the baby faces kind of Bugs Bunny-ish.
But the crowd does. The crowd's way into it. They're into Sparkly Crotch.
Yeah.
And they're into the list. Where's the list?
Okay.
They were chanting that.
Okay.
They're not piping that
well, but
in.
See, but Chris Jericho got the list over, not yeah. Seth Rollins' jokes.
No, but he's continuing. The story becomes about the list when it should have been about the title. I understand that. Well, but what it's really about is driving a wedge between the two heels.
But I have a deeper issue with how they present baby faces. And I don't think Seth Rollins needs to be a wisecracking guy suddenly. Because he never was.
Yeah.
Even when they were in the Shield and they were baby faces and they were winning, nobody was cracking wise. They were just cool and used to beat people up. And you can do that. And I don't know why they think that can't get over.
Not everyone's The Rock.
And not everybody's Cena. And Cena's barely Cena because he gets booed out of half the buildings. Yeah. Like,
no, like it's that switch that they made. Because remember how Stone Cold Steve Austin was known for his hilarious jokes? you don't need that to be like a tweener baby face or like a face or like just the person we know we're supposed to rally behind. I don't need to be like, you know, I don't know. As a comedian, I'm hella offended.
That's right. You should
real,
be.
It's real bad.
All right. Let's take a look at a different set of divas. Some of you may be aware that after the success of Total Divas, ETV has launched a spinoff, Total Bellas. And it turns out Danielle is a total fan. Danielle, as our Total Bellas correspondent, what about the new show has caught your eye?
It's a really fun look at what happens when a family moves in with John Cena and realizes that he's hella damaged. It's great. Cena's got like rules. He's like, okay, every morning we're going to wake up at this time and we're going to have morning coffee where we all have coffee together. And then every Wednesday, we're going to have formal dinner where we just go from our individual places in the house and we put on finery and we go sit down at a different place in my house and we eat dinner. And then afterwards...
I have a question.
Yes, yes, sir. You in the back, Mike.
Do they all live in John Cena's house?
They all live in John Cena's house.
I have another question.
Yes, Mike.
Why do they all live in John Cena's house?
They all live in John Cena's house because, well, money. But the reason on the show is because Nikki is recovering. And so when Nikki is in recovery, she needs 5 extra fucking people to help her do basic shit. So it's Daniel and Brie move into the house because she needs their help to be a person. Their mom and Johnny Ace move into the house.
Oh, God, no.
And their brother moves into the house. All because,
Sorry, quick question here. You mentioned money being an issue. Don't Daniel Bryan and Brie both have a good amount of money from their respective careers in WWE?
They do, but you know who probably does it?
Who?
JJ.
Who's
the
JJ?
Brother.
Oh.
JJ is the brother.
JJ Bella?
JJ Bella.
All right.
Yeah, so JJ is the brother. And he probably ain't got no money.
Okay. Quick question.
Yes, yes, Al.
Does Johnny Ace ride a scooter around?
Talking about people power. Hey, John, do you mind if I ate all the mayonnaise. JJ and I, we had a peeing contest in the pool. We both won.
You know, unfortunately, Johnny Ace only talks about prenup power because he trying to get that prenup from the Bella mom.
Dang.
And he talks about it. Okay, so after formal dinner on Wednesdays, the dudes go into a cigar room and the ladies go into a drawing room. This is all John Cena's. Like, you can. Something happened to him.
Isn't
when
he divorced?
Was younger.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably part of what happened.
He had a whole thing in Total Divas where he made Nikki signed an agreement before she moved in with him.
Yeah, like a cohabitation agreement.
Yeah.
It's called a cohabitation. If you ever want me to get into the legal of that someday, I will, because I used to work in family law. I'm not a lawyer. I just know some shit. But, yeah, he made her sign a cohabitation agreement. I'm sure he made all of the Bellas now sign a cohabitation agreement that basically says, this is my house, these my alligators. Y'all got to get the fuck out when I'm done.
Does he have alligators?
There are, I believe, like, he lives near a lake that has alligators. Yeah. He warned them at one point. He was like, there's alligators. Like, everything he does is very regimented. His house is very, it's a very, like, what, Jason Bateman? Is that the dude from?
Patrick Bateman.
Patrick Bateman. It's very, where it's just like, everything's got to be this thing, and everything's got to be clean. My house got to be this.
Okay, I have one more question.
Yes, yes, yeah. Mike.
Does he actually believe he was a real Marine?
We haven't seen evidence of it yet, but I don't doubt it.
That's what it sounds like.
Oh, he'll come down for formal dress once in the blues.
Oh, Jesus.
This is how I dress formally. But yeah, so it's basically Totes Bellas, for my thesis, is the story of one superstar, John Cena, showing how damaged he is, while another superstar Daniel Bryan comes to terms with how damaged he has been from the business.
Danielle, do you think next week that you'll come back and give us a recap of the most recent episode of Total Bellas?
If y'all want me to.
Yeah, because we have more questions to ask, but we have to move on.
I will literally talk about, we could do a Totes Bells podcast.
Oh, boy.
I would do that
with y'all. I couldn't be on that one.
Yeah, you could.
No, I couldn't.
I'd only do it with you guys.
Yeah.
I only want to do it with y'all.
You know what? It'll be a bonus. It'll be a Max Fun Drive bonus. We'll do it. All Total Bellas episode. It'll be great. All right, one final piece of news that we noticed. Raw is planning to debut a new live interview post show to the WWE Network in the same vein as Talking Smack on SmackDown.
Oh, good. More
good
Raw.
Good luck, Talking Smack. Mike, I know you're a big fan of the way Talking Smack has helped flesh out the characters on SmackDown. It made me care about the Hype Bros just a little bit. The hope is that it'll do the same for Raw, but Raw is also an hour longer than SmackDown. Do you think you're down to watch another 30 minutes of its content?
One quick addendum. My new pet peeve is when people on Talking Smack say Hype Brothers instead of Hype Bros. It makes me fucking sick to my stomach. It really does. Because the whole gimmick is that they're bros, okay? They're not actually brothers. They don't have a parent named Hype, okay?
The Hype Twins. It's like people that pronounce Louisville, Louisville.
Right. Don't like, stop! I just I don't have any faith in Raw as a brand of executing things. So I think that they're going to ruin it. And so I hope that it comes out good. I hope that they see the purpose that it serves for SmackDown is to take all these guys who aren't really moving the needle with scripted promos and give them an opportunity to come and talk and get over and show their characters and further angles in a way that feels organic and fresh. I hope that they see that that's what the purpose is and do that. But I have this feeling that they're going to script promos for Raw Talk and it's going to make me angry and I'm going to watch it anyway and want to hurt myself afterwards. Every week.
So you don't want to watch more Sasha talking?
Our 30-minute sit-down with Sasha Banks, where we just let her talk for 29 of it, is coming up. Michael Cole talks for the other 1 minute.
Did anybody see Talk Smack this week?
I have not yet watched it, but now, honestly, until you recommended it, I watched the Miz promo and I was like, oh, this seems like a good show. But you've recommended it so much that I now make it a point to watch it every single week.
I watch as soon as SmackDown goes.
No,
I'm like,
Talking Smack is
happening on Talking Smack?
It's dope. It's
but,
really worth it.
A weird thing happened this week. Kane was on Talking Smack.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
And it was a little ridiculous.
Mask on?
Mask, wig,
full character.
Full character trying to speak like a normal person.
Ooh, see, now I just want them to do an interview with Kane's lace front.
And I mean, can I just ask a random Kane question?
Yeah.
Whose idea was it to make the puffy wrinkle mask? Remember he used to just have a regular kind of form-fitting mask?
He had it, and then he took it off when he was tagging with Rob Van Dam, and he was horribly disfigured.
Right.
So I think they couldn't go back to fully covering his face. So it just became, here's a mask meant to intimidate. It's very similar to Batman. I would not be surprised if the design wasn't inspired by the
And then they cut the mouth off because someone was like, Kane talking is a great idea.
Yeah.
But it just looks like puffy hamburger meat. It's weird. I don't understand why it's puffy and swollen and it's got wrinkles on it. I don't understand it. But that was just my quick Kane question.
Okay.
You don't like that it ages?
It's weird. Why would you put a face on top of your face that's older than your own face?
Because it's scary. All you're doing is asking questions, but we're talking about him.
Yeah, see, it's like the
that's not wait a minute. I'm upset though. He doesn't want me to make me upset, does he?
They just want a reaction from you. They don't care about us.
It's like the portrait of Dorian Gray. It's the portrait of Dorian Kane. Like the mask ages so the man inside stays young.
Oh, Jesus.
The portrait of Dorian Glenn. Danielle, are there any changes you would make to the Talking Smack concept that you think would be beneficial now that they clearly want to expand it? And just to put in my two cents, I would say that what they should do differently is not do it at all. Talking Smack is so good, and it's so like,
and
this
it's
is
SmackDown's own thing, and I think SmackDown deserves
to
have something.
It's that thing of like, oh, that's working over there. We should do it for Raw also because they want more of it.
Mm, whose voice is that?
It's me, Kane's mask. Put me on, Mike. Know my power.
You scare me. I can't.
I'll be on your face while you're sleeping.
I missed you guys. Yeah, I don't. First of all, SmackDown deserves to have its own thing. SmackDown isn't 8 hours long, so SmackDown gets an extra half an hour from me. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Raw, it'll just be they'll be like, oh, well, you liked it on SmackDown. I'm going to do it for an hour and a half after Raw. And that's going to be Raw. It's just going to be an hour and a half of fucking people twiddling their thumbs like, so, yeah, the belt. Yeah, no, we've been talking about the belt for like 45 minutes. I got nothing else. I'll just describe the way the belt feels, I guess. This part's bumpy. This part's smooth. Like, I don't know what else you want to talk about the belt.
And who would host it? Would it be like
Summer Rae?
And Foley?
It'd be
or
fucking
Foley?
Byron.
Oh, God.
It would be fucking Byron.
Oh, yeah.
It would be Byron.
If it's Corey, I could watch it.
If it was Corey, I would watch it. Because he can get stuff out of people.
He's so good.
Yeah, he's great.
All right. Well, if you want to share your opinion on the stories we talked about or bring up something we didn't, be sure to join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. When we come back... Hell in a Cell has evolved from a 16-foot cage match that happened every once in a while to a 20-foot cage match that happens several times a year. We're going to tell you what we think about that in just a minute on Tights and Fights.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
And we host the first podcast ever made, My Brother, My Brother and Me.
Every Monday, we put out the first ever advice comedy podcast ever.
They found our podcast on Dead Sea Scrolls.
We're the Hammurabi Code of podcasts, and we're ready to entertain you with jokes that we invented, the first jokes.
So join us every Monday on MaximumFun.org.
You'll never crack our code, Dan Brown. Just try me.
It's history in the making.
And in the faking. And it's all yours for the taking.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. With me in the booth to talk about all things wrestling are...
Danielle Radford.
And Michael Eagle.
Every week there seems to be one thing that gets all wrestling fans talking more than anything else. And we like to add our voices to the conversation in this, our main event. Since October of 1997, Hell in a Cell has earned a reputation as one of the most brutal matches in the WWE. Don't believe me? Hear their ad about it.
Hell in a Cell.
He just fire Hell in a Cell.
The scars you will not heal from. The scars that will haunt you for a lifetime are the emotional wounds that will not heal.
Oh, it's just like a cage match, guys, with a roof and space to move around the ring. And it's become so famous that it now has its own pay-per-view built around the concept. I was actually at the pay-per-view last year. It was the first live pay-per-view I've ever been to. It was Hell in a Cell at the Staples
Which
Center.
Matches were in the cell?
Roman Reigns and Bray Wyatt and Undertaker and Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
That's right.
That Taker-Lesnar match was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because there wasn't a stupid finish on that one, was it?
No, they like ripped the padding and stuff off and they were like taking bumps on the wood.
Right.
Brock went over and then the Undertaker... Like, they showed each other respect, and The Undertaker was carried off by the Wyatts.
Yeah.
Did they show that even?
They didn't pay that. Then they robbed Kane. That was when they took his lightning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's when they took everybody powers.
Oh.
And then gave them back.
Yeah. But, they were like, these powers are dumb. We didn't want them anyway.
Here, take your stupid lightning. Take your ability to create lightning out of nothing.
But only inside of arenas.
All right, guys. We're going to go around the room. We're each going to say our favorite Hell in a Cell match. I'll go first. Okay? I'll take the pressure off.
You're going to take the good one, huh?
I'm going to say... And correct me if this was not a Hell in a Cell match, but the End of an Era match with Undertaker and Shawn Michaels was in Hell in a Cell.
Oh.
It was.
Or no, it was Triple H versus Undertaker
and
with Shawn Michaels the special guest referee.
That was great.
That was a great match.
I wish it ended eras.
It was, yeah, I wish it ended the era of the Hell in a Cell as well.
It's still in that era. That's true.
The Triple H era will never end. That is my favorite Hell in a Cell match, really not because of the Hell in a Cell, but because it was a really well-told story. And a really emotional match done And having it inside that cell made sense, the fact that they were trapped inside. It wasn't about busting out.
Yeah, and that ending was great and hella poignant.
Yeah.
In you know, obviously this wrestling is my favorite thing in the world, but in an entertainment medium where Ooh. Poignant is not a word you could use,
yes.
Basically ever, that ending was really, really nice, and I wish it actually meant anything.
Jesus.
Well, what's your favorite, Danielle?
Something. You know what? I tried to be like, I'm going to get real nerdy on him and pick something but the obvious, but no, it's Foley. Like, I was going to try
original
to...
Original or No Way Out?
Which one was the one where he died?
The original.
That's the original. That's 98.
Yeah.
His career ended, quote unquote.
Yeah, that's the one. Look, he gave up half his face. I can give him the respect of making that one.
Was he the heel in that match originally?
Yes.
Yeah. He was the heel, but because
he was creepy. He was like creepy basement dude or whatever.
Yeah. And then that gave him this guy will do anything, so now we love him. And that turned him face forever.
Yeah, and it changed because Funk came out and Funk did a thing.
Yeah.
And like it changed everything because he died. And when someone, and so they had to like figure out because they thought that he wasn't going to be able to keep walking. And he probably shouldn't have been.
It's odd that he went from that match to being like the corporate flunky and trying to kiss up to Mr. McMahon.
I think even that angle might have been part of that, though. I think that angle was part of him trying to impress Vince. Because this was right.
He had the shirt on.
This was right after like the Dude Love.
The Summer of Love.
Yeah,
and
the Chainsaw Charlie Cactus. This is like right immediately after. That's why Funk
was
there.
Yep, that's why Funk was there, because they were in a feud.
So I think at that point, he was trying to impress Vince to like get this father figure thing.
Right.
And then they turned him face, like, you know, Vince turned heel on him, which turned him face shortly after.
After the Deadly Game Tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But yeah, so I guess it's the most obvious one, but it is the reason why that match is that match.
Sure.
And yeah, like, dude, you know, half his face ripped off, he ain't got no teeth. I'll give him that match and say, I'll let him have it. But seriously, stop lecturing folks. Did nobody tell you to bring your kids? Like, stop lecturing people.
Have you guys watched that match recently?
Not years.
I did.
See, that's the thing, too. That's why it's also my favorite, hands down, because it's one of the few matches that, like, I've watched. I've probably watched that match 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
I'll go back and watch that match all the time. And the funny thing about that match, we all remember the moment of him going off the side and the moment of him going through. But to me, arguably, a bigger moment in that match is after he goes off of the side. And everybody knows he's dead. Mm. Jim Ross.
My God!
All of that.
God, he's broken in half. Yeah.
And they're carrying him out because he cannot walk. And when he gets off of the stretcher and starts going, like, that is like the big, that's one of the biggest moments in
it's
wrestling.
That moment.
You know what
moment.
I mean? Like,
it's not that he fell off. That's what Shane always gets wrong. It's not the falling. It's the getting back up.
Getting back up off a stretcher when the match clearly should have been over.
Yeah.
Like that drama of like, holy shit, he's going back and he's climbing it. What type of maniac is this? Like, that's the moment. You know what I mean? And that, no, they've never been able to recapture that kind of moment.
Is that your favorite as well?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. I can't even really remember any other Hell in a Cell match. Like, I know they happen.
They exist.
And they're violent. People bleed.
For a while, it was like the Undertaker's going to get you over match,
even
though he's going to go over. So Brock Lesnar, Edge, Randy Orton, I think they've all been inside.
Yeah,
it
was
that
I'll Make You Famous
Undertaker
match, yeah, for sure.
Mm.
So the heyday of those Hell in the Cell matches came when WWE wasn't a PG product. Now that they've banned color in matches, certain forms of brutality.
Did you say coloreds?
Yeah. Now that they've banned them. Well,
the political episode.
They have to wrestle in a different cage that's outside the arena. It's terrible. Look, I'm not condoning it. I'm just reporting the truth.
Hal gets woke. Hal gets woke.
It's another episode of Hal Gets Woke.
Hal gets woke. Hal gets woke.
Hey, guys, I just realized there's racism. Now that they can't have that kind of brutality, there aren't chair shots to the head, there isn't blading. Do you think, Mike, that the lack of that violent element makes these matches obsolete?
Yeah, I really, when they announce them now, like, I don't care. Because the only thing that somebody can do is what Shane did. And I hope Sasha or Charlotte don't do that. I hope they don't. I don't think any of the other people are going to do it. So I kind of don't know what you do in a Hell in a Cell match to make it to, like, what do you do to give them that moment now?
Right. For real,
what
for
do
real.
You do? Like, it's so funny you brought up that the Undertaker and Brock with them ripping up the padding.
Yeah.
In that moment, I was like, oh, this is great. And then the next day, I completely forgot about it. You know what I mean? Until you brought it up right now, I hadn't thought about it again. I don't know what they can do to generate that kind of moment and drama and specialness.
You know what they do? They make it two broads. And that's what they did.
Well, let's dig into that for a second, though. So we're Danielle, we're going to have three Hell in a Cell matches on the same card. So the obvious knock here is it waters down the match, makes it less appealing to the crowd. So aside from having fewer of them and putting two women, and having them as
you better
part
say
of a,
that with a Y.
As part of a triple main event, I'll bet money Vince has him jerk the curtain. I'll bet money on that. That's the first of the three, even though it should be Rusev, Roman Reigns. But anyway, aside from having fewer of these matches, aside from putting Charlotte and Sasha, how do you make the Cell matter again? Can you?
That is so hard. Because it is, like, what you want to do is you want to, like, the whole, we all know, like, the whole thing is you climb up to the top and then some dumbass falls down. That's the whole, and, like, I want it to feel more immediate. Again, it's that thing where I want it to be a cage match and not two people like battling to get up out the cage. I know there's been a couple moments where some people have done like some Spider-Man stuff, but much like Mike, I can't remember exactly what those are. Yeah. Because that could be like cool if more of like, less of like, I got to get out the cage and get to the top of it so that I can have like a replayable moment, and more of like, I got to do what I can do, excuse me, to get like the upper hand over this other person. You know, like I would rather see people like in that match use the space rather than it being like, I gotta get myself over by falling over. Please don't kill Sasha.
Do you guys remember the 6-man Hell in a Cell from Armageddon 2000?
No.
Yes.
When they blew off every angle they could possibly
get.
Oh,
was that the one where Rikishi fell on a truck
Rikishi
or whatever?
Rikishi fell on the truck.
Why the hell is there a truck there? Why is there a truck?
It was the 2000s. Sometimes it's just a truck.
It was because they had them padlocked in and Foley was trying to get them out. So he brought the truck in to tie it up to the door and remove it. But then he got escorted out. It was a whole thing. Mike, do you agree with what Danielle said? Do you think that that's...
Do I think it's what? I don't remember.
That's fair. That's fair. I think I just said, like, make it more immediate.
Oh, yeah.
Use the space rather than finding a ways to get up and get over top of it.
Because
use the inside of that space.
Do you know why I forgot what you said? Because the moment you said that, it clicked in my mind something that I think about every time I watch a Hell in a Cell match. I'm like, or I think about a Hell in a Cell match. I'm like, they got to the top. But they started inside, and I can't remember how they got out of the cage. I can never remember, like, how did they just walk out? Like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, that to me, too, like, that's weird. That's a disconnect. That you start in a cage and end up on top of a cage, and so you just walk out of the door? Like,
oh, no, I can tell you how. They do it the same way they do it in WWE 2K17. You build up finishers, and then you get your opponent near the wall, and you press triangle, and that triggers an OMG moment, which is usually like a spear or power bomb, and that's how they get out every time.
They, like, break the wall down?
Yeah, they break the walls down.
Break the wall down!
Oh, I love you, Y2J. I love you! I don't care! This Sunday, WWE has three matches to help change our minds about the Hell in the Cell. Speaking of three things, we've got three things that you need to check out right after this break. You're listening to Tights and Fights.
Listen up, Midwestern Max Funsters. Do not miss out on the inaugural Chicago Podcast Festival, November 17th through 19th. Catch the hilarious ladies of Lady to Lady and the witty and incisive Aneke and James from Minority Corner. Plus, Bullseye with Jesse Thorne will feature interviews with some pretty heavy hitters, like Andre Royo and Dwayne Kennedy. Don't snooze, don't lose. Tickets are available right now. Visit MaximumFun.org and buy them.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and with me in the booth are
Danielle Radford.
And
Michael Eagle.
To finish off the show, we're going to put over three things from wrestling that we thought were funny or interesting. We call it the three count. Danielle, to kick us off, what do you want to put over?
Okay, so I am putting over, we'll play a clip from anything, but I know I didn't get to talk about Lucha. You don't have to tweet me. I know I didn't talk about Lucha. I'm sorry. There's only so many things I can just talk about by myself without this becoming the Danielle Radford talks shit nobody wants to hear about podcast.
You're throwing the shade right now.
I did.
And I actually like to hear you talk about it more than I like to watch the things that you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe just because I'm excitable. But I'm putting over that Lucha Underground is going to be going on tour, y'all. They are touring, quote, 7 months of the year, end quote, according to Up Rocks, which means they heard it from like somebody else who heard it from somebody else. Because that's how websites work now.
It is.
No shade on Up Rocks. That's just how websites work now. But yeah, so I'm putting over that if y'all want to see some Lucha, you can see about buying some tickets and supporting them, which is dope because more people will probably go see it live than will pay cable to see it on El Rey instead of just stealing it from somewhere.
Where are they going?
So I'll read what they say is, we're getting ready to shoot. We're planning. There's no official pickup or anything, but our idea is to shoot our episodes in the first 5 months of the year, then go on tour the last 7 months of the year. Limited, not five nights a week. Rey is going to be our new ring announcer. Well, what?
Rey who?
I'm assuming Mysterio.
Seriously?
Okay.
Mysterio. Does that make sense? Okay, I don't know.
It's not going to be a week in, week out thing. It would be selected cities, marketplaces that love the product. Yeah, New York could be one of them, and we're just going to grow it.
Is this just some internal memo that leads? It sounds so casual.
We're going to New York. We're going to Los Angeles. We are going to the San Fernando Valley. And we are going to Thousand Oaks.
Y'all been to Reseda. No, it was literally just their executive producer on Sam Roberts' podcast.
Okay.
Do you have... by any chance, Danielle, do you have a mumbo-jumbo clip from Lucha Underground that you want to play?
Sure. Let's play a clip that nobody will understand except those of us that are dope enough to understand it. So just so y'all can get an idea of why we love it so much, here's a lady yelling at some dudes.
Mister, eh? Yo soy sexy star.
Sexy star has shattered the glass ceiling.
La próxima campeona de Lucha Underground.
Yeah, that's right. Fuck you.
Whoa. Me?
No. No, just any man who thinks that they can cross sexy star.
Can I make that as a ringtone?
Her or me saying, yeah, that's right. Fuck you.
Both.
I like both. Both is a good.
Oh, I have a text. Danielle's telling me to go fuck myself. Mike, what do you want to put over?
Talking smack. Surprise, surprise. Daniel Bryan, I think, was just on fire on Talking Smack this week. And there was a moment where they briefly discussed, and I guess they called themselves promoting that Hell in a Cell was happening, but Renee asked Daniel Bryan what he thought Raw should do with Hell in a Cell, and his answer was the funniest shit I have ever heard in my life. Let's hear that.
We have three Hell in a Cell matches.
Three Hell in a Cell matches. More is more? Is that the phrase? More is more? More is better?
No, do you not agree with that?
There's more that's better? Do you know what I think they should do is they should make it 4 hours, maybe 5 hours, with six Hell in a Cell matches.
Come on!
Yeah, no, and the winner of all six Hell in a Cell matches gets to be champion of the galaxy. That's what I want to happen.
What does that even mean?
No, they're champion of the galaxy. Like they, you know.
Is there a title for that?
Yes, of course. It's called the Universal Championship.
Got it.
They're champion of the universe.
Okay.
You get the championship when Triple H just comes out and beats up everybody else and then puts you on top of them. That's how you become a universal champion.
All right, sticking with championships here. They
Daniel Bryan is one of us.
Daniel, come be on the show.
I love him so.
Oh my God.
We can talk
fantastic.
Seattle. We can talk Seattle, Brian.
That's so good. Oh, it's such a good show.
You know, how is, you know, like, it's so refreshing just to hear people actually say what the fuck they think.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Just put them on the mic.
You know?
Yeah, I did have a problem during SmackDown when they cut a promo about, like, Hell in the Cell this Sunday on the network. Like, it was within, I think it might have been the Natalia backstage interview. Mm-hmm. It really annoyed me. But anyway, I'm going to put over something from Raw. This is probably going to surprise you guys. You may not be aware, I'm a big fan of Chris Jericho's.
What?
Yeah.
What?
And look, if there's anybody in the history of the world who could get a piece of paper, a pen, and a clipboard over, it's my buddy, Y2J. So a lot of the narrative, and I know you didn't like this, Mike, a lot of the narrative of Monday's episode was, where's the list? Who has that darn list? First of all, you could pick almost any moment of this, it's solid gold. First, I was going to go, let's do the opening segment where he's crestfallen, like almost in tears, because he can't find his list, and he won't wrestle until he finds it.
Yeah, total Owen voice.
Yeah. Then I wanted to put over the part where he's going and talking to each of the wrestlers backstage looking for the list and calling each of them a stupid idiot. But I think his discovery of the list, finally finding it in the hands of Braun Strowman, was my favorite moment of the night. Let's hear that.
Can you give me the list?
Say please.
Can you give me the list, please?
I don't see Sami Zayn's name on this list.
It's on page 4. And by the way, Strowman, you know what happens when you touch my personal property, don't you? Huh? You just made the list!
I will say, another bonus to Totes Bellas is I think Sami Zayn got more time on Total Bellas this week than he did on Raw.
Oh, Lord.
Why was he on Total Bellas?
Daniel Bryan was at the Performance Center being sad.
Oh, okay.
And that's all you're going to hear about Total Bellas this week.
Y'all let me know. I swear I will dedicate, I will do a 1-minute wrap-up of Total Bellas every week.
Oh, I want 5 minutes. That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. Our hosts are Daniel Radford and Mike Eagle, along with me, Hal Lublin. Our producer and occasional voice from the outside is Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Colin Anderson. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music as well, so thank you for that, Mike.
Oh, gosh.
Thank you, Mike.
Oh, you guys are cute.
Remember to tell all your fellow marks about the podcast and give us a kind review on iTunes.
We need you!
We need you! Please put us over! Listeners joining us on our social media pages keep growing every week, and we love talking to, with, and listening to you. And if you want in on the fun, just head to our Facebook. That's facebook.com/group/tightsfights, or reach out to us on Twitter @tightsfights. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.